Freshly Poured, The Coffee Cast with Tom. The Coffee Cast is that good broadcast where we afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted liberally. We take no prisoners, cede no quarter, brook no hoo-ha, and assuage no dumb effery. Now is your coffee mate, Tom.
Damn good coffee. And hot.
Ah, yes, indeed. Now, in the collision between reproductive rights, healthcare access, and conservative politics and culture, you will find the fearless Katie Klobusik. Now, Katie is a writer, reproductive justice activist, and media contributor. Besides hosting the Katie Speaks Show on Netroots Radio, she also writes at Rolling Stone, Buzzed, RH, Reality Check, Truth Out Alternate, and more. And today, we get to talk to her. So welcome. I'm Tom, your host. So, whether you're listening as you're tuning out that corporate drone in the next cubicle, rounding that last corner on that 20-mile hike before you encounter a grizzly, or looking for that lost key to your underground planetarium, welcome. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes, it's the Coffee Cast.
First cup, bottoms up.
So I'm talking to you, and you're in Southern California.
I am.
You are. So where do you hail from? Where do you originally?
I am originally from Indiana. And I went to Chicago for school and lived there for 15 years.
Oh, really?
And then I moved to Maryland and then New York, and then I moved here a year ago.
How did you get to where you are now, your evolution of writing and your speaking out for women's issues? How did that start?
Accidentally. like a lot of good things. I have a journalism degree. I have a journalism degree and a biology degree, but I graduated a couple months after 9/11. Pro tip, do not do that. Into a market
right.
That was about to die. The print media was failing. I mean, I went to school in the 90s, very much print media trained. I mean, Google didn't exist, right, when I was
right.
in college, let alone online publishing or outlets or media of any kind. And so the idea, since when I was in school, the cover of Newsweek and Time every other week was something science related. We had just cloned a sheep. We had, you know, put together an AIDS cocktail. I mean, there was some really amazing stuff happening. Stem cell research was starting, and most science people do not speak English, and English people don't speak science. And so the idea was sort of to be a translator, and then to basically spend like the rest of my life in school, learning, which is what journalism was on its best day for me, was to report on the things that I was interested in. And I spent some time at a newspaper office that was like a set of weekly newspapers. And very quickly, when my student loans kicked in, I couldn't afford to stay because they weren't paying enough, and I contractually couldn't have a second job. So I ended up going back to retail and freelancing for them, which I discovered was better money, because if you work efficiently and you work for yourself, you can either have more time off or more money, depending on how much you want to work. And I ended up quitting the retail job and freelancing full time for a while until print media really crashed at the end of 2003. All my editors got laid off at once, which basically meant I was laid off. And then I spent the next
right.
10 years working multiple service industry jobs, middle management at the airport for $9 an hour, working 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week. That is not an exaggeration, two or three or four jobs at a time. And it wasn't until, you know, I thought I had failed. You know, it wasn't until there were literally people in the streets screaming about student loans and about, you know, we were getting stories in the news about how people with master's degrees were working at Starbucks.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with working at Starbucks, but you can't pay off a master's degree there, right? So no one would take that job on purpose after earning a master's, because they're probably not making enough money to eat. And once social media was invented, there was a way to network back into a field without academia. Because until then, the only way to break back into a field, to meet anybody, to get you an opportunity, was to go back to school. And there's no way I was adding another $100,000 to my student loan debt. So thanks social media, in 2011, I started networking. And when Komen pulled their funding from Planned Parenthood in February of 2012, and all the right-wing people were excited, and Dana Loesch was having an orgasm on air about how we should all, you know, support Komen now, because liberals only care about breast cancer when they can push their abortion agenda, because abortion is liberal birth control. I was like, you know, that's not my experience with my abortion. And I called a national radio show that I'd called, you know, enough times to know the call screener, so that I could be like, hey, so I want to respond to that. And I've never talked about this, so I don't know how I'm going to do. And they were kind enough to be well received. And I was introduced as Katie from Chicago, the official dog walking bartender of the Stephanie Miller show. And when I hung up, I realized there couldn't be very many dog walking bartenders named Katie in Chicago. I had probably outed myself on national radio. I guess I'll write about it. So it was very reactionary, kind of. But thank you, Dana. I'm really glad that happened.
Well, you know, Dana is probably the perfect foil. People like her. People like them, who are well paid by whoever put them in power to speak whatever it is that they're going to say. But I can't help but think enough that we were promised jetpacks in the 90s when we were in we were all in college, or I think that just the promise of the 80s and the 90s is this. Work really hard, dig down deep, and, you know, reach for the American dream, and then to have it all, you know, really pulled away. I'm here to have a conversation with you. I'm not going to talk about myself. So I could definitely relate to so much of what it is, you know, that you're saying. And so it seems as if reality is pushing you toward where you are today.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't on purpose. I mean, Hal Sparks was kind enough to put me on air. I say that was accidental. He says that it wasn't, but I'm that's just extra kind of him. I didn't know that I wanted to do that. I didn't know that I would like doing that. That was very, very much at his invitation. And so I decided that I liked doing that, but it was redeveloping the writing skill that was a lot harder for me. I'm very lucky. Thanks, Obama, and thanks, State of California. Finally, at 35, was diagnosed with what both of my doctors call the worst case of ADD that they've ever seen. One of my doctors has been in practice for 45 years, if that tells you anything about her breadth of experience. And so my ability to function on a basic level, and this is not devaluing what I had to say, but just like the actual getting done of things, like the actual, you know, the business side, the busy work part, right, of writing or doing anything, was really hard. It feels a lot like when you ask someone whose brain is designed like mine to sit down and write 1500 words, even if they enjoy something like having written or they like the process, you feel physically like you're coming apart at the seams. And so it wasn't, you know, even if I had been given this opportunity before, without actual comprehensive healthcare, there's no way I could be doing what I'm doing now. There's no way that I could have taken a gig with Netroots Radio. There's no way that I could have accepted. I haven't talked about this on air yet, so a little breaking news in your coffee conversation.
Sure, sure.
There's a new outlet launching next month. It's women funded, run, and owned. New outlet called The Establishment.
Yes.
We officially have things like Twitter handles and stuff now, so I'm talking about it more. But I accepted a contributing writing gig with them, which means a certain amount of hours working for them plus my regular freelancing and my other work. There's no way I could have done all of this, and it's not about juggling; it's about the literal number of productive hours required without good healthcare. And so, you know, that's one of those things that should be obvious sort of across the board. I get frustrated when I hear, like in the debate last night, the number of people saying on day one, we're going to repeal Obamacare. And I'm like, but you You think that you want personal freedom. You think that you want economic productivity. Well, I don't have personal freedom or economic productivity without my healthcare. So, you know.
No, you don't have your freedom if you don't have control over your destiny and control
right.
over your health. You know, everybody here on this network is of complete like mind. We've been all through this entire episode of just trying to push through the progressive agenda. I think the thing that really struggles, I see so many people struggling, and yet this elite, some will say however proportionate it is. I'm talking about the Republican Party. The ideas that has now become the party of white infantile rage of just men. And all it is just this, as the country pushes forward, the thing that I can't help but think is how much they wish to interject themselves into power and also by the same token try to take back or claw back, you know, some kind of form of power back to them. Because whatever it is, they've lost that power. They're no longer in the majority. And furthermore, if you look, for example, states with GOP legislatures after the 2010, especially after the 2010 tsunami of legislatures pulling back on health and choice laws to women, especially. I just want to start there for an example. Like state abortion restrictions skyrocketed to 92 laws and then 43 in 2011 and then 2012 with that GOP wave in legislatures, and that's from the Guttmacher Institute. And you think about it, and you think about the fact that it has gotten to this. And
yeah,
no matter how far we go,
it's frustrating because
the pullback.
The conservative idea used to be to like halt progress, but we've really turned it into a situation where they're trying to turn back the clock. You're right. I mean, it's I think that people, even people who are paying attention, would probably be astounded to hear that there were 332 anti-abortion provisions introduced in 43 states just in the first quarter of this year. So I'm going to have to push back on what you said a little bit. It's not just Republican legislatures. It's what happens when the right wing is given so much latitude and so much space, and we do and our on the left, I would put myself in far left, much farther left than the Democratic Party, but even like the center to center left and far left, when our beginning point with compromise is to meet them where they are and then compromise from there, we end up with this situation where it doesn't seem extreme to ban abortion at 20 weeks. It doesn't seem extreme to punish the people that are part of the 1% of abortions that happen past 20 weeks. We don't ask to hear from them. We don't ask why. I don't need to know why, because I'm without restriction pro-choice. But for the people who need to hear that to be comfortable with those middle area abortions, we don't hear from them. We don't hear about the testing that's done at that age where we find out that the pregnancies aren't viable. You don't hear about the people who miscarry and aren't able to find a doctor to complete the miscarriage, because that procedure is the same procedure that's used to perform an abortion at that period. That in states that are outlawing the DNC procedure, that now there's no one to perform to help a prospective parent who's miscarried. We don't hear from any of those people because we're starting from the point where we're letting the right dictate our entire national conversation. The only thing that's going on in Congress right now is that they're trying to defund Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And this is shutting down the government, which did happen. The last time it happened because someone tried to defund Planned Parenthood. That's why it happened the last time. And it cost our economy $24 billion. $24 billion, right?
Right.
The Planned Parenthood gets about $500 million from the federal government every year. Now, most of that is sent through Medicaid, which means unless you're also writing a bill that completely fundamentally changes Medicaid, you're not actually going to defund Planned Parenthood. But let's pretend you could defund Planned Parenthood with a bill, that you could wipe that $500 million out of the federal budget. Do you know what the percentage of that is for the $3.8 trillion budget? It's 0.01%.
Exactly.
So take 1%. And divide it by 100, and it's that much.
Katie,
of
what's
the federal
big
budget?
Right.
And it's going to cost us, and it could cost us $24 billion to save that small of a percentage. That's how focused they are on this.
What is this kabuki theater that they're doing? What is it? What is it? What are they trying to claw back? No rights for women at all? What's going on?
I can't explain it in a way. And this is sort of my specialty, but I can't explain it in a way that will help people understand what the motivation is, because there is no Planned Parenthood is more popular than the Republican Party. So it's not like they're trying to get votes on this. Right. So that's not it.
Right.
The people that are running for president are looking for their billionaire, most of whom are super, super right-wing patriarchal jerkbags. the people that fund ALEC are the same people that fund Americans United for Life. Ari Triali did a really great piece, and so did Addie Stan a couple years ago. I think she was at the American Progress at the time, or they dug into the funding, and it's the same people, right? So like the people doing all the state laws, like the stand your ground laws and stuff, they're the same people that are doing the model legislation for Americans United for Life. So
right.
They could be going after a billionaire funder for their, but that doesn't explain like the hundreds of people in Congress, right? And it's not fiscally conservative. It's not holding to typical Republican values. I mean, this is really, it's sort of inconvenient for Jeb, but Poppy Bush and was on the board of Planned Parenthood. Like they're Planned Parenthood people.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. President Nixon is the one who signed Title X, which is what provides federal funding, primarily provides the federal funding, the non-Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. It helps to get contraception to low-income women.
Breast cancer screenings.
Right. But these are Republican. Well, Title X specifically for contraception. That was a Republican value. You know why? Because for every dollar that you put in to helping low-income women get contraception access, you save $7.
Right.
In things like prenatal care and assistance after the child is born. Like, oh my goodness, it's even fiscally responsible. So why are they focused on it? I can't tell you.
Okay. And for instance, look at what has happened in Texas, in all of the southern states, but most notably in places like Indiana, especially when they have gone after it. Hammer and tong. If you take a look at it and look at the results of what has occurred because of them pulling back, defunding whatever it is they've done to it, and why it just appears to be an acorning. They find something, they grab it like a dog with a bone, and they won't let go.
That must be it, because it doesn't test well. I mean, there isn't a person alive in the country who doesn't know someone whose life has been affected by either ovarian cancer or breast cancer, or just access to STI training, which is something, you know, Planned Parenthood doesn't only provide health care to women. They provide health care to men and trans people. And I mean, across the gender spectrum, you know, in a lot of places, especially if you're from a small town like I am, from a small town in Indiana, if I had wanted birth control or I had wanted STI testing, there's no way I would have gone to my family physician or gone to my mom's OBGYN. Not a chance. I would have gone to Planned Parenthood, where I know that my anonymity will be protected. So when the governor of Indiana widely defunds Planned Parenthood, most of which, by the way, don't provide abortions. Not every Planned Parenthood does. just like the Planned Parenthood that was attacked in Washington a couple weeks ago.
Right, in Washington State.
They don't provide abortions either. So they're just a bunch of people that have no access to contraception or STI testing right now for probably the next month while they try to find another location because the arson in the building was pretty severe. So, you know, when you defund and have to close down clinics, even no matter what, you know, function they're providing, you have things like Central and Southern Indiana is dealing with a really sort of dangerous HIV outbreak. There's almost nowhere to go right now where you can get tested at a place where that has the kind of national branding that Planned Parenthood does. It makes people feel safe. Now, I'm a huge proponent of independent clinics. I wish we had more independent clinics. I'm on the board of the Clinic Best Project, which helps provide free resources for clinic escort groups that for clinics that get picketed. And the majority of our clients are independent clinics. And I have a love for independent providers like Whole Women's Health and other places, Trust Women in Wichita. But in a lot of places, Planned Parenthood is the only clinic. And so when you target Planned Parenthood, people don't always know where else to go, especially in an era where the crisis pregnancy centers, the fake clinics that religious conservatives set up, very carefully model their names, locations, and websites after legitimate clinics. So if you just hop on Google, you can accidentally end up at a crisis pregnancy center. And so a lot of people, knowing that that's a landscape, will trust the Planned Parenthood because they kind of know what they're getting. And so when this sort of national conversation, you know, causes, even if the only thing that came out of those super doctored videos and this conversation in Congress right now, even if the only thing that happened was that people trusted Planned Parenthood less, we could be looking at a major healthcare crisis.
My chat with Katie moves to that great disaster called the GOP-CNN debate. Next.
Second cup, top it off.
Let's say you're winding your way through the Adirondacks on Route 30. And up ahead, you notice the ADK trading post just north of Long Lake. Yes. Do yourself a favor and just take a break. Stop in. Vicky and Billy are provisioners about the Adirondacks, and they know and have what you've been hungering for. Now, they've got popular homemade soups. It's curried chicken soup or mushroom Alfredo. It's actually filled with wine. Turkey pot pie with a puff pastry topping. Oscar's Adirondack Smokehouse meats and fine grind-to-order coffees. Gilly's Roasters, in fact. Their most popular blend is Brooklyn Java, a real New York coffee from real New Yorkers. Other blends include French Deluxe 3, Peru Standard Organic Fair Trade, Costa Rican Terrazu, closest that they can get to the Dunkin' Donuts blend. The ADK Trading Post. Find them on Facebook or adktradingpost.com or just stop in on Route 30 through the Adirondacks and tell Vicky and Billy you heard about them through the CoffeeCast podcast. The ADK Trading Post, Route 30, in the Adirondacks. Last night, CNN did no fact-checking of the debate whatsoever, but we will. And when I watched it, I didn't exactly sit in front of the thing. I was busy off someplace else and listening to it. And even as I hear it, and I hear all this patriarchy, all these guys, you know, getting up all into the business of women. And it's ironic considering how they have always talked about, you know, this liberty, freedom, freedom, liberty, whatever right. it is, this thing. And yet they will get right into the business of people that they want to marginalize. And in particular, let's listen a little bit to what Chris Christie said last night. This is a typical example. Here's how it goes.
Senator Cruz says surrender by Republicans.
Well, what I can tell you is this. We didn't surrender in New Jersey 6 years ago as the brand new first ever pro-life governor of New Jersey since Roe versus Wade. I defunded Planned Parenthood, and I've vetoed Planned Parenthood funding now 8 times in New Jersey. Since the day I walked in as governor, Planned Parenthood has not been funded in New Jersey. We've stood up, and every one of those vetoes has been sustained. But here's the problem. We're fighting with each other up here. We agree. Let's ask Hillary Clinton. She believes in the systematic murder of children in the womb to preserve their body parts, Dana, in a way that maximizes their value for sale for profit. It is disgusting, and the American people need to hear it. We shouldn't be fighting with each other. She's the real opponent. She's the real problem.
The real problem is this entire crazy acorning with these videos that have been patched together to make it look like Planned Parenthood is some kind of baby mill. And I'll just have you speak to that.
Sure. There's so much wrong with that. I had Dr. Leah Torres on my show the first week. There's a podcast of it if people want the full like 20 minutes with her. Other than to say that there's nothing in the videos that's true, the way that they're portraying it, like as put together, the idea that medical waste can't be used for research is sort of ridiculous. And I would like to ask Governor Christie if he's ever gotten a polio vaccine. Or any of the other myriad of vaccines that were developed using fetal tissue.
Right.
This has been going on for, it's been going on for decades, decades and decades and decades. You know, this is the idea that the research company wouldn't compensate the office that's storing and helping transport medical waste is ridiculous. Like they're not selling for profits, you know. I could go on about that forever,
right,
but I'm not going
right,
to. Here's the deal. And if there was anything illegal going on at Planned Parenthood would have been shut down long ago. And the people have to understand that Planned Parenthood is the most investigated organization in this country. Their books, they have to keep their books so carefully because there's no federal money is not allowed to go to abortion care. It's not allowed. There's a bill that's been introduced that everyone should support, the Each Woman Act. It's huge. It's the first proactive legislation in the history of this country. It would be the first time that on a federal level in either a court or the legislature that the affirmative right to abortion would be on the table. All Roe versus Wade did was decriminalize abortion. It didn't affirm the actual right to abortion in this country. And so there is no federal money. The Hyde Amendment is attached to every budget since 2 years after Roe. Every
right.
president has signed it. That includes Democratic presidents. There is no federal funding for abortion. But because of that, Planned Parenthood's accounting has to be pristine to the point of being, I mean, I can't even imagine how much money they have to spend on that and how much more healthcare they could do if they didn't have to spend so much like of their time and energy on that. They get investigated by every Congress. If there was anything going on, it would have been shut down so long ago. The funny moment and the thing that really tells you how little these men, these rich, primarily white men, don't know about healthcare and don't know about Planned Parenthood and don't know about anything is that four of them last night in the debate wanted to put a woman on the $10 bill who was on the board of Planned Parenthood. That is easily my favorite. Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, I'm sorry, three. Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, and Senator Cruz all want to put Rosa Parks on the $10 bill.
And she was on the board.
That.
She was on the board of Planned Parenthood.
Indeed she was.
Ignorance is everything. Because
it's
if you
true.
Think about it, they cobble together this incredibly I just want to take a moment and just try to put this into words. They don't come at it, whoever these opponents are, whatever they have done, whatever they oppose. They are what one would call bad actors, and the poison of that tree that they create is something where they take something and cobble it together to give it the illusion that it that they want to put forth. Then it gets into the conservative media, the conservative bloodstream, and it becomes the rage for whatever period of time that is. So what I want to do is the next piece here is a clear out and out lie by Carly Fiorini, who would know better than anybody else. So what I want to do is, here's a brief old clip right here from last night's debate.
As regards Planned Parenthood, anyone who has watched this videotape, I dare Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama to watch these tapes. Watch a fully formed fetus.
I just don't even want to continue with that.
I don't even know. Like, I've got, that's one of those things that's so blatantly untrue. All you
so
can do
true.
Is go,
so untrue.
Okay, so that's not true.
And it's not true. And it's kind of interesting because she was on Good Morning America this morning, and she even continued to support it. Here she is.
Well, the Sarah Cliff, actually, in writing in Vox, watched all 12 hours, and she concluded either Fiorina hasn't watched the Planned Parenthood videos or she is knowingly misrepresenting the footage, because what she says happens in the Planned Parenthood videos simply does not exist.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot of commentary about these tapes being doctored. In fact, that's what the mainstream media keeps talking about, is the tapes and their origin. Rest assured, I have seen the images that I talked about last night. Rest assured.
Rest assured.
Exactly.
And what they will do is they will continue to push that. And so here on this side, we try to fight the good fight. And here we are, up against something that is blatantly, obviously in no sense in true at all. This is,
well,
Charles
it's very,
Pierce.
It's really important, and the only way that we're gonna stop this, right? Like we referenced it earlier, is that we're gonna have to take a Social Security Works attitude towards this, right? Instead of saying, okay, just please don't cut funding, just please don't defund this, just please don't, okay, and taking that as a win, it's time we started asking for things. That's part of what's so amazing about the Each Woman Act, right? Is that they're like, listen, this is it. I wrote about it in Truth Out if people want the full info on it. It's really amazing. 70 members of the House have signed on to say that they don't think that someone's income level should determine their access to abortion. And are you ready for this? That polls as mainstream.
Wow.
By a 2-to-1 margin, Americans agree with that across every income level, religious affiliation, name the check the box thing that they ask on a survey. That is now mainstream. I am a little sad because it means I'm not edgy anymore. But I'm excited that this is now becoming mainstream, but it only stays that way if we demand things. Like this is 70 Congress people stood up and said, this is it. We think that your insurance provider, so Medicaid or the state or whoever, shouldn't be able to deny you abortion care. And that bill would also take care of the state level, so the 25 states that say that if you get your insurance through the Affordable Care Act, that you can't have abortion care, and then the states that also impose restrictions on personally purchased, independently purchased plans, all of that would go away. Not legal anymore. This is a huge, huge bill because it primarily helps low-income people, right? People who, let's say, you know, if you're rich, you just go somewhere and you just pay for it, right? No big deal. That's been true forever. And so we have to start asking for things. My friends Aaron Mattson and Pamela Merritt just started a new organization, Repro Action, and they've decided that they're kind of done with the wishy-washy, please don't hurt us anymore. They're going to start asking for things. They're going to start asking for things from everybody. If you say that you're running in the Democratic Party, if you say that you're pro-choice, we're going to expect you to prove it. Like, show us what you got. And we need more of that. Otherwise, this is going to go on forever. It's going to be a part of every Congress, no matter who's president, no matter whether or not this stuff could pass. We're not going to get anything done. They're just going to spend all their time doing this.
Katie Klobusek, I would say that it's fantastic being able to speak with you. This is the middle of the fight, and I so appreciate you being here. The Katie Speak Show is on Netroots Radio as well as podcasts. You are on Saturday 4 Pacific Time, 7 Eastern, and the Encore Show is Monday 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, and it's just not only a show that you do, but it's you're also, you said something that was really interesting. People can also suggest, you know, what they want to hear on your show,
please,
as well.
If you have, I'm pretty lucky to have a good network of people that I'm connected to, and Netroots is kind enough to let me bring on whoever I consider to be either an expert or people who are having really important conversation. I like to have the messy conversations. You're not going to get a rundown of the weekly news on my show. I kind of want to do more of what you and I have done today.
Right.
And so they're not restricting who I bring on. So listen, if there's an issue that you want to hear about, or there's someone that's doing some good work that might be interesting to hear from. No promises, because I only have an hour a week, obviously. So there's already a backlog. But please tell me what you want to hear. The show is new. I want it to be valuable to the people that listen. So please tell me what you want to hear about.
Katie, thank you so much for being here today.
Anytime.
Third Cup.